This week's Parsha is Parshas B'chukosai, and this is the Drasha Deconstructed podcast. I'm your host, Rabbi Yitzhak Ganak.
Joined by Rabbi Scott Hoberman.
And Rabbi Ariel Schreier.
And today we have Rabbi Hoberman presenting a source for discussion. Now, for all you listeners out there, we do not know where this Drasha is going to go. Rabbi Hoberman is presenting a source that we have not discussed at length, and we are going to construct a Drasha, or rather deconstruct a Drasha, together from scratch. Rabbi Hoberman, okay, we're very excited to hear your new source.
So my source is actually the first passage of the Midrash Rabbah on this week's Parsha, Parshas B'chukosai. Im B'chukosai Teilechu V'as Mitzvosai Tishmoru. So obviously the Midrash doesn't quote Rashi, but Rashi already deals with the issue. What does it mean, Im B'chukosai Teilechu, if you follow my statutes? So I would think that that means to observe the mitzvos, but that's the next. Those are the next words. V'as Mitzvosai Tishmoru. So Im B'chukosai Teilechu must mean something a little bit different. So Rashi tells us it means shetiyu amelim b'Torah, that you should really work over learning Torah. That's how Rashi suggests in b'chukosai teilechu. And I think the Medrash is dealing with the same type of issue and gives a different type of answer. The Medrash tells us in b'chukosai teilechu and tells us a Medrash about David HaMelech. And tells us David HaMelech said, Ribono shel olam, master of the world, b'chol yom v'yom hayisi mechashev, Omer limkom ploni ulebeis dira plonis ani holech. David would plan his day. He said every day he would plan, I'm going to go to this place, I'm going to go to this location. Bahayu ragle mevios osi lebeis kenasios ulebeit midrashos. He says every day he was planning. David Malach is the king. He's planning to this, he's planning to that. He has a whole things to do list. But instead, his feet carry him to the base medrash. They carry him to the base kenasios, to the shul. And it sounds like he would spend his day learning and spend his day davening. And the Medrash is saying this to explain what does it mean in B'chukosai Teilechu. So there's more to the Medrash, but I think we'll pause there to analyze this Medrash. If you think about it, it's almost absurd to think of David HaMelech as the king. The king is obviously a very busy person, and he has a lot of things to do. I can't believe that David HaMelech didn't actually do the things that he needed to do on his things to do list. He's saying he needed to go to he has a meeting with this, the ambassador from this country, a meeting here, and instead he just ditched those meetings and went to daven and to learn. That's hard to imagine. And what I thought the Medrash is trying to tell us, and you guys can let me know if you understand differently or want to take it a different direction, but what I was thinking was that even though David HaMelech certainly took care of the things that he did on his things to do list, that he certainly did all the things that a king needs to do to run a country. But in his mind, the fact that he went to Shacharis in the morning, the fact that he had that time to learn at some point of the day, so in his mind, when he looked back at the day, that's where his feet took him. When he's looking back at his thing, so I went into the day today with this to do, that to do, a whole things to do list, but at the end of the day, my feet took me to accomplish the things that are most important, which was to daven and to learn. And I think that's maybe what the Torah is telling him, im b'chukosai teilechu, to follow my statutes, is besides just observing the mitzvos, but an attitude of how to look at our day, how to look at our lives, or what are the important things that we accomplished. It's like David HaMelech, that b'chukosai teilechu was that he went to the shul, he went to the base medrash, that for us, even though we obviously have things to do each day, we can't spend all day in shul on the base medrash, but that's what we truly accomplished during the day.
That's a nice drasha message, because it goes very easily into like how we define who we are and how we define things that are valuable to us. You know, most of us spend almost all of our waking time doing things that are not the most central thing in our lives. You know, the beginning of the day, the end of the day, we do the things that we think are most central, most valuable, maybe the beginning of the week, the end of the week. But the day-to-day, hour-to-hour are not the most important thing. So you're saying, yeah, but axiologically, what I really did, exactly, Dalai Lama says, was the 14 minutes I spent in the base medrash.
That has halachic ramifications as well. The halacha by Birchas HaTorah, the bracha we make on learning Torah, is we're supposed, why don't we make a bracha every time we open a sefer? Every time, if I learned in the morning, what, and now I'm coming to learn at night, how come I don't have to make a new bracha, Birchas HaTorah? So I think it's Tosfos who explains that really the Torah is on your mind. It's always centered in your mind. No matter what you're doing, you're busy, you're being the king, you're running a whole country, a whole nation, and you're dealing with everything from A to Z, But if, in your mind, as always, is you're always thinking every free moment that I have, I'm going to take advantage, I'm going to go learn, I'm going to come back to my Sefer. So there's no Hesach Hadas, there's no lapse in your mind. The Torah is that center, that core, and it always connects, and therefore your learning throughout the day connects back to that original bracha you made in the morning.
Interesting. And maybe if that interpretation of the Medrash is correct, so the Medrash is reading deeply into the word chok. So chok we usually interpret to mean a law. Clearly that's not... Actually, maybe the Medrash might be reading it a little bit differently over here, or adding another layer, meaning that it's something that it's established and kavua, something that's a pillar. So we're saying it's not just the things that I do, but it's the chukim, the things that are the most established parts of what I do.
Chakuk al haluchos,
right?
Chakuk, the holiday of Shavuos.
Right, chakuk means engraved. Right. Very interesting. Interesting.
Maybe even to add, another layer onto that. Just it happens to be that the Medrash is about David HaMelech. Reminded me of Gemara in Brachos. I think it's Daf Dalet. I'm not sure. Gemara at the beginning of Brachos says that when David HaMelech would have meetings with different kings, different nations of the world, they would have meetings together. The kings would, be bathing in the sun and basking in their glory with their crowns up high, and David HaMelech would be there getting his hands dirty and talking about Hashem and talking about learning. So even while he was still dealing with the running a kingdom and running the Jewish people and being the king, he was always involved. And even at his meetings and whenever he had a spare moment, he always jumped on those opportunities, the walk to the bus, the commute. He was always talking about Torah, talking about God, when the kings were talking about themselves. So maybe the Medrash is talking about literally or physically walking to the Beis Medrash, but maybe on a metaphysical plane, David's head was constantly in the Beis Medrash.
Right. There's like a chain of Midrashim, a theme of Midrashim, that paint David as the Talmud Chacham, over the king. Right here, there's this tension between David the Talmud Chacham and David the king, and the Medrash is saying that David stressed his chachma and his devotion over his power. I mean, there's the David of Tehillim, and there's the David of Nevi'im of Sefer Shmuel. And if you read the stories in Sefer Shmuel, you don't see David as this Talmud Chacham. You don't see him as this overwhelming tzaddik, but you read the David of Tehillim, and you read that with Shmuel in the background, so you see that no, he was that person. So there's this tension in the presentation in Tanakh, and the Midrashim are dealing with that tension, and they're stressing, David was absolutely chakuk. He was engraved as a Talmud Chacham. So I think it's a very nice. I think it's a very nice interpretation of the Medrash, and you can add, I think what the Medrash is saying, I think the Medrash continues, that my feet carry me, I don't remember the exact language, but it says, I'm on my way to a certain place, and my feet carry me to Raglai Ratzim Lebeis.
Right, Ani Holech Vahayu Raglai Mevios Osi Lebeis Knesset.
Right, my feet bring me to the Beis Medrash, and the Medrash is darshing the word Telechu, that I walk. And it's kind of like subconscious in the presentation of the Medrash, and the presentation of David. So David wasn't planning on going to the Beis Medrash, and he just ended up there. He had this deep muscle memory.
Habit.
Yeah, his habit, because he was so, it was so chakuk, it was so deep and deeply engraved in him, that no matter what he was doing, he ended up in the Beis Medrash. And I would add that maybe there's another side, as we can maybe develop this as an offshoot. Maybe what it means is that when I ended up in the Beis Medrash, it doesn't mean that I actually ended up in the study hall physically and geographically. It means that as I was going to that meeting with the ambassador of Ashur, or whoever else he was talking to, Mitzrayim, so he ended up in the Beis Medrash, meaning his MO, how he dealt with these meetings, his way of thinking, always brought him back to the Beis Medrash. You know who's like that? My father's like that. So my father talks to a lot of high-powered people. He wrote a book together with Bill Clinton. And what's interesting is, when I watch him interact with these people, is that he always quotes the Rav. And it's so interesting because, like, Bill Clinton doesn't know the Rav. But, you know, he always ends up in the Beis Medrash. That's his way. That's his framework of seeing everything in all spheres of life.
And that type of persona has an influence on those people around you. I'm just reminded, I'm teaching third grade. So we just learned Parshas Chayisara. And Eliezer goes out and he goes on this mission to find a wife for Yitzchak. And the entire time he's talking about the Hashgacha, how God, you know, showed him the Derech, God showed him the path, showed him the proper way, and the whole time he's saying, you know, he's bowing down by Yishtachavu, he's bowing down to Hashem, thanking Hashem, and that influences the people around him, that Besuel Lavan say, we can't deny it, this is from Hashem, this is from God. Even the people like Besuel and Lavan, who, again, have no association of God, recognize that just from the way Eliezer is speaking, even though he's not physically in the tent of Abraham, he's no longer in the Beis Medrash of Shem Bever, that he's just constantly talking about God and mentioning God in his daily conduct, in his daily conversation, it influences them as well.
Right. So there's two ways of making something the main point, as one person said. The main point is always make the main point the main point. So there are two ways. Either you can give it time, even if it's just a little bit of time. And also, when you're not doing that thing, in our case, learning Torah, it's influence. It creeps into everything else. I think that's really interesting. You know, it reminds me of a comment of Rabbeinu Tam, also in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says, Yafa Torah Mederech Eretz. It's actually a Mishnah in Perkei Avos. And Rabbeinu Tam, when the Gemara quotes it, Rabbeinu Tam writes that Yafa Torah im Derech Eretz, that, you know, like you say, would you like, you know, like when your kid takes so much ketchup with the French fries, you say, we like some French fries with your ketchup. So the main one comes second. You have, would you like some French fries with your ketchup? You're saying you took too much ketchup. So the main one comes second. So Rabbeinu Tam says, Yafa Torah Derech Eretz. Torah is good with worldly everything, study and engagement. He says the ikker, the main thing, is Derech Eretz. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says, because it comes second. And like it's a very strange thing to say. What does Rabbeinu Tam mean? That Derech Eretz is the ikker, is the main part, and Torah is secondary. What does Rabbeinu Tam mean by that? So I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Meir Twersky, when we were studying this, he said that, and he used the word axiologically many, many times. I had no idea what the word axiologically means. And Rebbe, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry that I didn't know what axiologically means. But he said, of course, Rabbeinu Tam is not saying that Derech Eretz, meaning, let's say, a profession, is axiologically the main point, meaning that's what we value the most. Rabbeinu Tam is saying that that's what we spend most of our time on. We spend most of our time engaged with our environment. Working, sleeping, eating, struggling. That's what we spend most of our time with. Axiologically, what we value the most, that's the Torah. And Rabbeinu Tam is exactly saying this point, that even though we spend most of our time with Derech Eretz, even so, Torah is the main thing. And that resonates with all of us, because we all spend our time on a lot of things that we don't value as the most important thing as in life. But let me ask you a question, Ray Hoberman and Ray Schreier. How can you say this in a drasha without sounding trite? I mean, you could say, even though we spend our time doing X, Y, and Z, but we need to value the Torah that we learn the most, and therefore you should come to Shir at 9 o'clock on Thursday nights. Which is true, but it's not interesting, it's not a drasha, and it doesn't convince anybody.
It's been said before.
Every single thing in the entire Shulchan Aruch is about that point. So what can we say that's new, that's nuanced, a different perspective?
So, I mean, one more layer is to go a little beyond Talmud Torah, maybe beyond even religious experience. Like spending time with your family, that's another example of something that one of my friends was just telling me recently, that he feels like the daycare is raising his child. The child is at the daycare for, I don't know, 8 hours, 9 hours, whatever it may be.
Almost 12 hours sometimes.
Yeah, and then the parents
if you have a good daycare, it's almost 12 hours.
Yeah, and then the parents, you know, get a couple hours with the child. So for the child, what's going to be the main thing? Like, where's the who's actually raising this child? So, I wouldn't say axiologically, but the daycare's raising the child for the most part. But axiologically, am I using that right?
Probably not. But continue.
But really, the child is being raised by the parents. If the parents are able to see it like that, and they're able to teach their children to see the world like that.
I mean, the real influence is coming from the parent, even though most of the hours are coming from
it's
other
places. It's
probably
a conscious decision the parent needs to make. But yes, a parent certainly can be the main influence in the child's life.
Mm-hmm. And what about on our own lives? How do we make the things that are the main point into the main point? How do we do that?
I'll just piggybacking on the children, and maybe even applying to the Torah and all of them, is like, there's no school on Shabbos, there's no school on Sunday. Like, we have 2 days of the week. So if in your mind you're not just thinking like, oh, it's just 2 days, but 5 days a week I don't see them at all, and like you focus on that time that you do have with whatever that core is, and realize that like, no, this is still 2 days and I have an opportunity, and let me make it qualitatively much better, even though quantitatively it's right. A smaller amount.
Right, right. As a parent and a rabbi, I'm self-conscious about using applications about children, because even though it's a very large part of my life, there are a lot of people in our audiences who are not focusing, either because they're single, they don't have children, their children are grown up, they may be estranged from their children. There are all these different situations. So I think we have to be careful, and if any other rabbis listening to this, I'm interested to hear your thoughts, of making sure to expand our message, even though children are such an important part of the Jewish community and Jewish experience. We have to broaden it, not by making it dull, but broaden it by making
it
more relevant to lots of different situations. So, like, how else can we talk about this?
So I think to broaden it beyond children, because as you said, like, it's true, not everyone is blessed and to be in that stage and is currently in that stage, is to think about, as an individual, what speaks to you, what, when you do that, brings you chias, brings like you true life. And maybe it's something beyond that. Maybe it's, you know, being kind, reaching out to someone who's in need. Like, the communities, the world is filled with people who just need someone to say hello, to talk to them on the phone for 5 minutes, could change someone in a very positive way.
So you're saying that somebody, whoever it is, who is very rushed, their day is jam-packed, but maybe they can send a text message, maybe they can make a phone call, even if it's once in a while. But if you recognize that, is that that's your chakuk, that's your thing, that's your value. So when I do it, I know it's valuable, and I want to make room, a little bit more room, to fit that in.
Absolutely. Even if it's, you know, even if it is only those, you know, 5 minutes once a month.
Right. And if any of our listeners want to get in on that, and they need some direction, they could contact us. Right. All our information is on our website. And we can help with that. Yeah. And it's great. So it could be chesed, it could be tefillah, meaning the things that you value, recognize what they are, value them when you do them, and squeeze out a little bit of extra time to do it. You know, my father quotes the interpretation of the Gra, I think, on Kavata Itam the Torah. Did you set aside time for Torah? So the Gra says the Kavata means, did you steal away time? Like, time that was set for something else, did you steal away a couple of seconds for Torah? So the same thing is true. Did you steal away a couple of minutes from your podcast, from your commute, from your meeting schedule, whatever it is, whatever you're filling your day with, all those important things. But did you steal away 30 seconds to send a text message, 4 minutes to call somebody, a friend who you know is isolated and you haven't spoken to in a long time, but it will make their day if you call them? And if you know that you made somebody's day, makes your day also. I think we can wrap this up into
a
drasha.
Like, often, when you think about what is your highlight of the day, it's often something that took a small amount of time. So something like that. That's what David HaMelech is saying, like the path that he went on, the thing that was the highlight of his day, where perhaps the smaller things, but the things that really spoke to his core values that he had defined. So just piggybacking off what you guys said, like to really think about what those values are for each of us, really define them, and then think how can we either make them part of our daily routine in a small way, or when we do have an opportunity to do them, to actually show our commitment to them. I like that.
Great. So can we wrap this up into a drasha?
Do we have an introduction?
Yeah, we need an introduction.
We have the middle. We got the meat. There's plenty of from this medrash, from the gemaras, from the Rabbeinu Tam. And we have the conclusion. We have something to take home with. But what do we have to bring in at the beginning?
So I have a story that a friend of mine told me. He said that... So he's a young rabbi, and he was with a mentor of his on they were traveling somewhere for like a half hour, and it was, he said during that 30 minute trip, this rabbi made about 15 phone calls to people. So 15 1-minute phone calls, and he was just astounded that like you can do so much in a 1-minute phone call. Just like this rabbi was keeping in touch with the people who were important to him, like that kind of short but valuable and important and deep communication, interaction, experience. So that's an image. You can start with it's a very short story.
It also could be valuable as in the middle of the drasha, mm-hmm. to use that as a story to transition away from David's Talmud Torah into something that's...
Right, it could be a transition point. Right.
And I didn't mean to kill our introduction No, you did mean to.
And if you want to take that even further, like you could talk about like developing familiar relationships, calling your parents once a week, calling your siblings, and maybe even calling your children. Just develop that relationship. If you actually feel that this is something that's charis, it's important to you, so that's something you could really build off of. But maybe you could use that as an introduction and then come back to it later on in the drasha. Just like tell the story about this rabbi who did so much to his congregants, and then make it personal to an individual.
Right, right. And the truth in the story, it's not so important that he's a rabbi. It happens to have been that's true, but like when you're telling the story, that's not an important detail.
It maybe detracts from the story, right. Makes it less relevant.
You could just say that I had a friend, and he was sitting next to
another friend,
a man with a beard,
a friend of a friend, or something like that. Like it really affected him. Like this person, as the onlooker, was really affected by that. So, Homan, why don't you darshan this? Put it all together and see how it comes out.
I had a different idea for an intro, and maybe I'll just jump right into it and see where we get loose from here.
I always said you live on the edge.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we recently started with our Tuesday night Parsha shiur. We switched from learning Parsha to learning the Kuzari. And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the author of the Kuzari, he was famous for saying, Ani po v'libi b'mizrach, that he finds himself, he's here, but his heart is b'mizrach, in the east, is in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, he spent his whole life writing about and ultimately pursuing his dream of making Aliyah. And at the beginning of our parsha, the Medrash relates another famous character in Jewish history who found himself in a different place than he may have physically been. The Medrash says in Bechukosai Te'lechu that if you follow my statutes, what does it mean to go in the way of the statutes? The next words in the Pasuk, Es Mitzvot Shai Tishmeru, means to observe the mitzvot. So following the statutes means something different, to telech, to go. So the Medrash tells us of David HaMelech, who was the king, he relates that he had a plan for the day. He was going to meet with the ambassador of Ashur and all the other important people and meetings he had for his day. And he found himself, instead of going to those meetings, his feet would take him to the Beis Medrash and to Beis Knesses. He would find himself in the learning and davening. And if you think about this Medrash, it's really a strange idea. How could it be the king of the country is really neglecting to go to his meetings and instead davening and learning? It's negligent. It's not responsible of David HaMelech. So I think the meaning of this Medrash is not telling us that David spent his entire day physically in the Beis Medrash and the Beis Knesses, but that you find this tension in Tanakh, in the life of David. If you read through Sefer Shmuel, he was clearly a politician doing important things. But if you read through Sefer Tehillim, you see that his heart was somewhere else. And I think what David HaMelech was saying here is that, of course, he took care of the things he needed to do on his list. Of course, he had those important meetings. He did what a king, and what every other king did. But Libi Bamizrach, his heart was somewhere else. His feet and his mind were taking him to the base Knesset and the base Medrash. Because David HaMelech was able to find the time each day, perhaps it was to daven in the morning and the evening, or to find that time to learn. And to him, when he looked back on his day, so he really saw that as the highlight. Yes, of course, he was the king. He was doing these important things. But his feet and his mind were really somewhere else and was taking him. That was really what was most important in his life. I think this is an important message for all of us to really consider, what is it? Where is my mind and where are my feet? It's true that many of us are doing many important things during the day. We're not able to spend the majority of our time engaged with things that are necessarily the most valuable to us. But it's important for us to think, what are the things that are most important to me? Perhaps it's examples of David HaMelech, Talmud Torah, or davening, or even an opportunity to engage in chesed. So many of us would love to spend more time helping other people, but we just don't find the time in our day. And what we see from David HaMelech is that really you could make your life vision, something that's the main thing in your life, could really be something that's only taking a small amount of time. All of us have a few minutes here and there, a few seconds here and there to send a text message to someone, to ask someone how they're doing. A friend of a friend of mine once related, he was in a car with another great person, someone he really looks up to, and the person in the 30-minute car ride, he used the time to make 10 to 15 phone calls, to make 1-minute, 2-minute phone call to someone, ask them how their day is going, wish them a good day. And he was really so impressed that this person was able to use his time so effectively. And this is really something that all of us can do. We can really think about the things that are important to us and to find those small pockets of time to really engage in those things. I really make it something that we make a center of our lives, to realize we can follow where our feet and our minds could really be headed are the things that are most important to us, even if they aren't necessarily something that we can spend our entire day on.
That was really beautiful. That was great. You wrapped up well. And of course, we want to wish a mazel tov to our technical producer, Rabbi Ephraim Clare, and his wife,
Aliza,
on the birth of a baby girl.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. We couldn't do this without Rabbi Clare. And we're so glad to have been able to learn with each of you today.